Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We begin with a long jump down under to Australia, where South African athlete Luvo Manyonga won the gold medal in the men's long jump Wednesday at the Commonwealth Games. Luvo leaped 8.41 meters, a Commonwealth Games record, to finish atop the medal's podium. And Luvo's South African teammate, Ruswal Samai, also climbed the medal's podium. He won the bronze medal with a jump of 8.22 meters. Local favorite Henry Frayn of Australia won the silver medal with a distance of 8.33 meters. Getting back to Luvo Manyonga, he was crowned world long jump champion last year in London, and in 2016, he won the silver medal at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Before the show, I read an article in The Guardian how Luvo Manyonga leaped to international glory after overcoming an addiction to crystal meth. Let's give Luvo a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Luvo Manyonga, Commonwealth Games champion, world champion, and Olympic silver medalist in the long jump. Also on Wednesday, South Africa's Olympic silver medalist in the women's javelin, Sunet Viljoen, won a bronze medal at the Commonwealth Games with a throw of 62.08 meters. Local favorite Catherine Mitchell of Australia won the gold with a throw of 68.92 meters. That's also a Commonwealth Games record. Another Australian, Kelsey Lee Roberts, won the silver medal with a throw of 63.89 meters. Also on Wednesday, Botswana's Amantle Moncho won gold in the women's 400 meters race, one day after her Botswanan countryman Isaac Makwala won gold in the men's race. The 34-year-old Moncho, who won a world title in 2011, clocked a gold medal winning time of 50.15 seconds. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Commonwealth Games news, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Thea LaFond, who on Tuesday won Dominica's first ever medal at the Commonwealth Games, a bronze in the women's triple jump. Thea celebrated her 24th birthday last week, so let's count that bronze as a belated birthday present. Now, some of our Voice of America listeners might remember Thea. She was my special guest on the show before the 2016 Rio Olympics in Brazil. In Australia, Thea won the bronze with a distance of 13.92 meters. Jamaican athletes Kimberly Williams and Shanika Ricketts won the gold and silver medals, respectively. Williams had a gold medal-winning jump of 14.64 meters. More results in athletics at the 21st Commonwealth Games. Jamaica's Aisha Prout won the gold medal Wednesday in the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase race. Aisha had a winning time of 9 minutes and 21 seconds. Kenyan athletes Selafine Chespo and Purity Kirui won the silver and bronze medals, respectively. After Wednesday's action, the Kenyans are 23rd overall on the Commonwealth Games medals table with a total of 6 medals, 3 gold and 3 silver. South Africa is the top-performing African nation at Gold Coast 2018. The South Africans are 4th overall with 26 medals, 10 gold, 7 silver, and 9 bronze. Nigeria is next with 8 medals, 4 gold, and 4 silver. As I mentioned during Tuesday's show, Nigeria's 4 gold medals came in para powerlifting. Host Australia continues to dominate the medals table at the Commonwealth Games. The Aussies have won a total of 145 medals, 57 gold, 43 silver, and 45 bronze. England is second overall with 76 medals, 25 gold, 30 silver, and 21 bronze. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In European club football, Bayern Munich is at home against the Spanish club Sevilla this Wednesday evening, and defending champion Real Madrid will host the Italian side Juventus in quarterfinal action in the UEFA Champions League. Real, winner of a record 12 European titles, looks likely to go through to the semifinals after beating Juventus 3-0 in the first leg last week in Italy. Meanwhile, Bayern takes a 2-1 first leg advantage into its match this evening against Sevilla. In UEFA Champions League results Tuesday, Roma pulled off an extraordinary comeback to eliminate visiting Barcelona 3-0. Roma entered the match as a massive underdog after losing the first leg of the quarterfinal series 4-1. The teams drew 4-all on aggregate, and Roma advanced to the semifinals on away goals. And Liverpool reached the Final Four with a 2-1 road victory against Manchester City. Liverpool advanced on a 5-1 aggregate, and at the post-match news conference, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp had this to say.
Over 2 legs, over 2 games, I really think we are deserved in next round. We scored 5 goals against Man City. We conceded 1. These numbers are usually not possible. And the boys did it, so I'm happy.
A happy Liverpool manager, Jurgen Klopp. One of his boys, Egyptian star Mohamed Salah, equalized in the 56th minute for Liverpool. It was the 39th goal of the season in all competitions for Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year. What the heck? Let's give Mighty Mo a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Mighty Mo Salah of Liverpool and Egypt. And the Brazilian Roberto Firmino scored the match-winning goal in the 77th minute for Liverpool. Another Brazilian, Gabriel Jesus, scored in the 2nd minute for Man City. Following the matches in Munich and Madrid this Wednesday evening, the draw for the UEFA Champions League semifinals will be held on Friday. The first legs are scheduled for April 24th and April 25th, and the second legs on May 1st and May 2nd. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Some American female tennis stars are joining forces to promote equality on and off the court. Joining us once again with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings. Sonny, on Tuesday's show, I talked about an ESPN magazine article that ranks the 20 most dominant athletes of the past 20 years. And one of the athletes I mentioned was tennis great Serena Williams, who came in at number 12. But what I failed to point out is why she's so great. Serena is the winner of 23 Grand Slams, the most by any player, male or female, in the past 20 years. How did I forget to mention that? Serena, if you're listening, please forgive me. Well, today I want to stay with Serena and also Sister Venus and tennis icon Billie Jean King. It was announced on Tuesday that Serena and Venus have joined the advisory board of the Billie Jean King Leadership Initiative to promote workplace equality and inclusion for everyone. The announcement coincided with Equal Pay Day. April 10th approximates how far into a new year a woman must work to earn what a man made by the last day of the previous year. Billie Jean King also celebrated the 5-year anniversary of the nonprofit she founded. and said she is looking to the Williams sisters as among those who can carry the work she started decades ago. In a press release issued on Tuesday, King said about the sisters, quote, "Without a doubt, they are two of the foremost athletes of their generation and true forces in changing the public discourse on equality in sport and society. Serena and Venus will be tremendous additions, and we are pleased to welcome them to our organization." This is not the first time Venus has made headlines for her fight for equality. She fought a 2-year battle from 2005 to 2007 and asked the Grand Slam board to offer equal prize money to male and female players. She was successful, and her Wimbledon title in 2007 moved Wimbledon and the French Open to offer equal pay for all of its competitors. Billie Jean King recalled that moment in a recent interview and said, quote, "Venus in particular helped us get equal prize money in the majors. She was amazing. She really got Wimbledon to make the big step." King added, "Venus has always had the courage to step up, and Serena is the same way. They step up." On July 31st, the U.S. will recognize Black Women's Equal Pay Day to shed light on the fact that the gender pay gap hits women of color the hardest. Last year, Serena recognized the day by penning an article that appeared on Fortune.com. In it, Serena pointed out Black women are 37 cents behind men in the pay gap. She went on to write, "I want to bring my perspective and experiences as an athlete, an entrepreneur, and a Black woman to the boardroom and help create a more inclusive environment in this white, male-dominated industry. And I want every woman of color to do the same." She ended by writing, "Let's get back those 37 cents." Between 1961 and 1979, Billie Jean King won a record 20 Wimbledon titles, but she has spent a lifetime fighting for women's rights. Decades ago, King created the Women's Tennis Association, and on Tuesday's program, tennis pioneer Donald Dell credited King for lifting the gender bias in professional tennis.
Billie Jean, no question, lobbied very hard and got the U.S. Open to first do that. And the other slams, you know, followed suit, but over a period of time. I mean, Wimbledon only decided to do it about 3 years ago, whereas the U.S. Open did it 20 years ago. I mean, no question that was Billie Jean who was leading the charge to get equal prize money at the U.S. Open. And once that occurred, the U.S. Open, the USTA, was by far and away the earliest one to do that by some 10 or 15 years. And then it was followed really by the Australian came on. The French were still slow, and then they followed finally about 7 or 8 or 10 years ago. I don't know the exact date, and Wimbledon was the last to follow suit. But she was instrumental as a leader of that cause.
That was tennis pioneer Donald Dell. King continues the fight for equality and says she wants to build the legacy of the Billie Jean King Leadership Initiative because, quote, "I wanted to have a life after I'm out of here. They are my sheroes. What an amazing, amazing cause." I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. I like that. Sheroes. They're my sheroes. That's my shero, VOA colleague Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
It's time for our Wednesday basketball chat, and we're joined once again by Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny, on the last day of the regular season of the NBA.
Last day and lots of interesting playoff races, and we'll take a look at those races, Mwamoyo. But first, the Philadelphia 76ers, they're one team I don't want to play in the NBA playoffs.
The hottest team on the NBA right now going into the playoffs. They have 15 games winning streak.
15 in a row.
15 in a row. And, you know, they are going into the playoffs full speed, great momentum. And mind you, they're doing this without Joel Embiid.
Winning so, without Embiid.
Embiid, their center, the big guy, likely defensive player of the year. So Ben Simmons is carrying the team on his shoulders, and he's likely to go home with the Rookie of the Year.
Ben Simmons had a great duel recently with LeBron James. I think they both had triple-doubles, but Ben Simmons, I mean, he's a player to watch.
And LeBron had to hug him at the end of the game.
Well, we all need hugs and now and then.
And you know, when that happens, you know you have arrived.
Yeah, because LeBron doesn't hug opponents very often, does he?
No.
Well, let's take a look at those playoff races right now, Memorial. As you mentioned, only one game left in the regular season. Which teams are you looking at right now in those playoff races?
So last day of the regular season, all playoff spots have been taken except number 8 in the Western Conference. And two teams are playing tonight for that spot. And this is Timberwolves and Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
Whoever wins that game moves to number 8. And that will lock the all the teams in the playoffs. So now, what's happening with tonight's games? There are 12 games tonight. It's a matter of looking at who moves to number 6, number 7, number 8, and that will determine who they play. Because the upper seeds have all been taken in both conferences. 1, 2, 3, 4, they've all been locked. But the other seed from 6 to 8, there will be movements depending on the outcome of tonight's games. Very interesting game tonight, Timberwolves against Denver Nuggets. Very critical because that determines who goes into the playoffs. But there are other games which may move teams around. Philadelphia, as we say, hottest team, they're playing Milwaukee Bucks tonight.
Okay.
And they're playing in Philadelphia. And there is a chance that they might also meet in the playoffs. So that would be a good big matchup between Ben Simmons and Giannis Antetokounmpo. But Philadelphia are likely to miss Joel Embiid at least in the first games of the first round of playoffs.
You mentioned those top seeds, Momoyo, and right now they have locked up home court advantage in the conference for the playoffs. The Toronto Raptors, they have the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, 59 wins and 22 losses. And in the West, the league's best team this year in terms of record, Houston Rockets, 65 wins and 16 losses. So the Rockets will have home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
Throughout the playoffs. If they go into the finals, they still have the home pitch advantage. So they have placed themselves at a very good place to win the whole thing. But they have to come out of the Western Conference first, which is not an easy thing to do. Golden State is sitting at number 2. They will miss Steph Curry in the first round of the playoffs, but he's likely to come back. And when he comes back, you're talking, something else.
Do you think the Warriors are vulnerable this season, Memorial?
Warriors are vulnerable, and if they meet OKC in the first round, that could be hell for them.
Okay.
And why am I saying that? Because Russell Westbrook is playing a good game, and he always dominates a game between OKC and Golden State Warriors. And mind you, they got Paul George, they got Carmelo Anthony. Those are big time players with a lot of playoff experience, and they can turn it on when it really matters. And if they miss Steph Curry in the first round, Golden State Warriors, they have a lot to deal with in their hands.
Memorial, earlier you mentioned that Philadelphia-Milwaukee game being a possible playoff preview. Another possible playoff preview right here in Washington on Tuesday night. My beloved Washington Wizards, they beat the Boston Celtics on Tuesday night, 113-101. I guess the Celtics are not quite 100%, though.
They're not quite 100%, and they've been missing Kyrie Irving. And they always have trouble when they play Washington Wizards in the playoffs. As I remember two seasons ago, they had to go, I think, 7 games. So that's a matchup that's going to be very interesting, depending on how the Washington Wizards show up, because they haven't been playing very well in the past few games. They played very well last night and they won impressively. But going into the playoffs between Boston and Washington Wizards, if it comes to that, it could go, you know, to 7 games.
The Los Angeles Lakers did not make the playoffs, Momoyo. They're currently in 11th place, and the top 8 teams in each conference make the playoffs. Lakers are outside of the top 8, so they will not be in the postseason. But an interesting story regarding the Lakers and the NBA's oldest rookie. Tell our VOA basketball fans about that.
This is one of the best storylines in the NBA season this year. And it came on the last two games. They signed up Andre Ingram. And this is the classic case of victory loves preparation.
Okay.
Because this guy has been toiling in the G League for 10 years. 10 years waiting for that call to go to the NBA.
And what's the G League?
The G League is the league below the, like, the preparation, you know, division where players, they play there hoping to get a call and go and play in the NBA.
Okay.
So he was in there for 10 years, and he was doing very well. So he comes into the game last night, and he scores 19 points.
And
he was popping threes from every spot on the on the floor. And this is 34 years old, and you can actually see he's gray, like you.
Well, I don't have any hair
so
left, Mom.
That means you have a chance. You have a chance. If they call you with your height, you have a chance, man. I don't have a chance. I don't have the height.
that old rookie for the Lakers, he has some ties to Washington, doesn't he, Memorial?
Yes, he plays for... American University. Yeah, and you know, he's been around here, and he hoped. He's one of those players that a lot of people had hopes for, but then he disappeared into the G League, and people forgot about him. People didn't even know in the area. Didn't even know that he was still playing. You know, good for him. And this means he might get a contract for the next season. And talking about late sign up, Cleveland Cavaliers, they signed up Kendrick Perkins, a big guy, 6'10", 270 pounds. He won the championship with Boston Celtics. So he comes in at this point. They don't have much use for him, but he fills up the center position. He can go into the game and pick up, you know, 5 fouls, you know. And when Tristan Thompson is down, they can bring up Perkins.
Scoring and rebounding, two of the keys to winning basketball. And we got about 30 seconds left in the show, Momoyo. Tell our listeners, who's leading in scoring and rebounding?
James Harden, 30.4 average. LeBron is second at 27.7. In rebounding, I think that's Andre Drummond or Pistons, 16 per game. I mean, that's a lot for rebounding.
What do you think of Anthony Davis of the Pelicans?
Anthony Davis is doing very well. He's number 3 on the scoring 28.2 average. Victor Oladipo with the ties in the region. He leads in the steals, 2.4. That's one of the most difficult, you know, task in the NBA, to steal the ball.
Because we're so fast. Momoyo Hoops Hamza, always a pleasure chatting with you, Momoyo. And that wraps up the April 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's been 100 years since British poet and infantryman Wilfred Owen described a soldier suffocating on chlorine gas during World War I. I saw him drowning. In all my dreams before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. In remarks to the Security Council April 4th, U.S. Ambassador to the UN Nikki Haley pointed out that World War I was the first time chemical weapons were used in modern conflict. The horror of the suffering such weapons caused drove the world first to ban their use and then to ban their production and stockpiling, too. We dared to believe we could banish the threat forever, Ambassador Haley said. But Syria's Bashar al-Assad is a man with other goals. In 2013, Assad used sarin gas against his own people on the outskirts of Damascus. The pictures of hundreds of dead men, women, and children shocked the world. In response, as Ambassador Haley recounted, the UN adopted Resolution 2118, mandating the destruction of the Assad regime's arsenal of chemical weapons. In 2015, the UN established the Joint Investigative Mechanism to identify anyone who used chemical weapons in Syria. But one member of the council, Russia, shielded the Assad regime from any consequences, then blocked the Security Council from renewing the Joint Investigative Mechanism, noted Ambassador Haley. The world, she said, is a far more dangerous place because of it. The Assad regime keeps dropping chlorine bombs on innocent men, women, and children. When there are no consequences for such actions, others take note, Ambassador Haley declared, as the use of nerve agents in Salisbury and Kuala Lumpur proves. Speaking to the council on the one-year anniversary of the Syrian regime's dropping of chemical weapons on the town of Khan Shukun, killing scores of civilians, Ambassador Haley challenged the council to continue the fight to rid the world of chemical weapons and to hold to account anyone, anywhere who uses them. Let us use this meeting as the start of a renewed partnership and a renewed commitment to put an end to the use of chemical weapons in Syria, she said. Even with all the profound divisions on this council, the United States refuses to believe that we cannot come together once again to stop chemical weapons, not just to protect the Syrian people, but to protect us all.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, the life and legacy of Winnie Madikizela Mandela, the giant of the anti-apartheid movement who died last Monday. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC,
right here on VOA Africa.
On the next edition of Press Conference USA, a conversation about Middle East politics. Alan Lapson, director of the Center for Security Policy Studies at George Mason University, analyzes Syria, Iraq, Iran, and the protests in Gaza, among other critical issues. That's Press Conference USA, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.